Okay, so I think I steered away from my original title a little bit, but I start with the title, My Faith, My God, My Savior. And the idea is eternalizing the faith of your parents. Instead of just following your parents and doing what they say or doing what they do and trying to emulate that and hope that gets you to God, the idea is to get to know God yourself, to walk down the path yourself, to choose it for yourself, become baptized, choose Him as your Savior, get that eternal life, not just to kind of blindly follow and hope to get there. I think I'm going to focus more on how to respond to people and answer questions in that with that attitude. So the first question would be, how do you currently respond when people ask you about your faith or religion? You can either go around the room and raise your hands.
It depends on the question, like how they ask me.
That's true, but I mean, a general idea, or...
Well, no one's ever come to me and said, you know, just ask, you know, you usually have to explain to them why you can't be there on a certain day.
Yeah, or like, why you don't keep Christmas, or...
Well, then how do you respond to those situations?
Well, usually I just say we're Jewish.
I say we're Muslim.
Okay, you're in the right class.
It's more fun to say you're Jewish, though. I like those people. It's more fun to say you're Jewish.
Dude, I'm not Jewish.
And then I'm not Jewish either. It's just fun to say that.
Well, then don't say it.
That's lying, I think.
It's not a lie.
It's not a lie. It's not a...
It just...
It's a joke. It's not a lie. Technically.
Have you ever been asked what you believe or why you believe it?
No. No one's ever asked me that question.
Why not? I was.
The question is probably all you usually get asked is, you know, why don't you keep Christmas or... Yeah. Why can't you work on Saturday or anything like that? That's probably the usual.
So how do you respond to that?
I usually say it's like a church thing. If it's on Saturday, I say I have church then, and people usually understand. But it depends. Like, you know, kind of hard to explain why I can't be at work for a whole week. I have to say it's a big church. See, I just say it's complicated.
Luckily enough, I can say it's a church thing
and they usually understand.
Like, oh, that
I haven't explained to them.
Okay.
Never, anybody else ever run into that situation where somebody asks you what you believe or why you believe differently than them? Why do you keep the Sabbath instead of Sunday?
You guys are special.
Special.
Just kidding.
Okay, well, when you do get asked that question, because you will be, I've been asked that question before at work and stuff like that. People will just wonder, like, oh, why are you taking off that day? Oh, what kind of Christian are you? What do you believe? Are you Jewish? Are you this? Are you that? And it's good to have responses to that. I mean, the Bible does tell us to have responses. You can go to 1 Peter 3:15. I'm going to go there and read that.
Exalt the Messiah as Lord in your lives. All you prepare to give a defense to everyone who asks you to explain the hope you have.
So, when somebody asks you about your faith or the Sabbath, and it can be something as simple as why are you going on Saturday instead of Sunday, it can be about the holy days, that's an opportunity and a reason to explain, as opposed to here. And my version, the reason of your hope. And what is the reason of our hope? I mean, it's always good to boldly come back with an answer, to instead of trying to slough it off or get away with it, you should be responding, giving them an opportunity to get to know what your faith is. So, I always suggest, like, for example, when I've run into this situation a bunch of times, probably because I'm pretty vocal, loudmouthed, and always talk, so people kind of start to figure out that I'm different, and they hear about the holy days, and I don't just say, oh, I need this day off from work. I explain what it is to them, or talk about it when I get the day off, and they ask me what I'm doing. to talk as much as I can. Except this one. I was forced into this by Matt Gaffney.
You too?
But, so, sometimes the response that's easy to give, and it can be a good response sometimes, especially if they just ask you something. It's like, oh, well, what church do you go to? A lot of times we get that.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's easy if they're, like, if somebody's looking for a church to go to, of course, or if you don't really know the answer, you can always just refer back to your local church. And that's why we have stuff like Discipleship, Church of God. I honestly don't know what you guys call it in Scottsbluff. Maybe it's the same thing.
You have, like, a B-Free and a Berean and stuff like that?
No, it's Outreach Ministries.
That sounds familiar. And so you can always refer back to that stuff so that, you know, somebody has somewhere to go to look for that information, or if, you know, you just need a quick answer sometimes. Or it can be good, you know, if you're actually trying to direct them somewhere so that they can go to a church and learn more that way. But I always find most people nowadays use it as an excuse to, like, you know, well, I'm Lutheran. Whatever that means, it's an excuse to say, well, go ask them, I don't know, I'm not really involved in my faith. But as you've been learning over these weeks with, like, the start of the Mass discussion on Tuesday, I think?
Monday.
You've been explaining how you can go to God in prayer at any point and discuss with Him and grow your personal relationship with your Maker. And that's what this our faith is about. It's not about what church you go to. It's about your relationship with your Maker and Savior. And so it's always best to try and get that across, because that's the hope. That's what people want to know. They don't want to know what building you happen to meet at that time, because buildings come and go. You want to show them to the Creator that you meet with. And so a good answer can just be plainly, well, I follow Jesus Christ. Usually that will lead to follow-up questions, but that's always good, because then you can explain better and hopefully give them a little bit of the gospel or an idea of what they can look for or how they can hopefully get to know the Creator as well. For that, we've got a scripture here, 1 Peter 2:21. Anyone wants to read that?
Okay. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow His steps.
Okay, I may have done these out of order, but that is, we're supposed to be following in His steps. It says that He's the example, we're following in His steps. It's not about religion, it's not about buildings, it's about following Christ. That's our religion. As much as it's good to find a building and people to meet with, the religion is following Christ, as it says there. And then 1 Corinthians 12:27. Leading us and showing us which way to go. And an example of how we're supposed to follow Christ, is that if we're the vine, he's that. He's just thinking, he figures out where we're supposed to go, and our job is to listen, you know, to the nervous system or whatever, telling us how to move and what to do and to do his works. And so that's something you need, that's good to get across when people are asking you the questions of what is your religion, what is your faith, where do you go to church, because it's more important to point them to your Savior, not to the building which you need to talk to him in, because the building can always change. So now hopefully you guys might have some good ideas on other ways you can respond. There's other good answers out there. Other responses that can be good in situations. For example, what do you believe? What's your belief system? What's your doctrine? What do you follow as your code, or where do you get your holy days out?
I usually say that with Sabbath keepers.
That's a good one. And that usually leads to more questions.
Wonderful.
Questions are good, because the more they ask questions, the more answers you can give, and the closer you can bring them to your Savior. There's another big one that you all, or most of you, have in front of you that's a good response.
The Bible.
That's what I say all the time.
Young yeah. Jesus.
I say, I believe the whole Bible.
The whole Bible. Oh.
And that's a really good response. When people ask what you believe, they might be looking for you to say, well, I'm, you know, Protestant or something, so here's our set list of commands, or here's what some guy came up with as our church's doctrine, or something like that. But that's not what we're really about. We do have some statements of faith on our website to kind of give a brief overview to people who are looking curious into us, but that's not what we're really about. What we're really about is the whole Bible. And so when people ask what you believe, or where you get your beliefs from, or where you get your doctrine from, are you going to tell them, well, Matt Gaffney said we need to do this and this and this, or then his son said this, and I think that's about the same, and then we talked to Matt Laws, and he said something that was pretty similar, so we're calling what they say. That's not what
they all said things pretty close.
Pretty close, usually. That's why we get along pretty good. But, so, when people are asking for what you believe, usually what they're asking for is kind of, what does your church believe, or what do you follow, or where do you get your doctrine, or your set of rules that you follow? And it's always best to always point back to the source. Kind of, Christ died. One of the I think you missed the point.
You gotta clarify this a little bit, Jane.
One of the reasons Christ died was to remove the old priesthood. He became our new high priest, so we can go directly to him. So we can read the Bible and learn his doctrines ourselves. So instead of trying to put in another man in the place between us and our high priest, something like the Catholics do with the Pope, they have him there as a mediator between him and God, but he's just a man. And that's not going to get you closer to God. You have to actually talk to God yourself. And so when people ask what you believe, you can't point to something the church wrote up or something that somebody who's really smart wrote up. Even if they are really smart, like Matt, maybe you can use that as a guideline, some helpful tips there. But you always have to point back to, no, what we really do is we follow the Bible. What does the Bible say about this? And so when people ask stuff, like specific questions, do you have responses to those? Like, how about the Sabbath day? Or why don't you have, I don't know, in schools a lot of times people are like, oh, why don't you have a boyfriend or girlfriend? Or why don't you
feel like, yeah. Gosh. Leave me alone, Devin.
Or, you know, why won't you cheat on this thing? Or why won't you go in to this party and do all this stuff? Do you have any specific responses for situations like that that ever come up?
Yeah.
Do you have any ideas of what would be good responses?
Because I'm going to be sick.
Yeah, that's good.
I'm going to be sick next Wednesday. I'm sorry.
What if you
yeah, anyway, now why you gonna be sick? Oh, that's cool. Yeah.
Now, the question I usually ask, they only ask, like, why, so they can have information. They ask why, as in, why I'm not going to be at work that day, or just wondering what I believe, because usually one person I work with, she goes to church, but she's just there probably because her mom makes her. That's, like, the only reason. Like, she went from church to work one day.
So do you think it's good to just give some kind of vague answer, or do you think it'd be better to answer the question more specifically so that maybe...
I don't try to give a vague answer, but, like, what they're used to is kids at their school, you know, those super Christians preaching the gospel don't really know what they're talking about, and so it just annoys the heck out of them. So I don't want to be the person to make further put them away from Jesus because they're annoyed with it. That happens a lot.
Well, the big thing is they're asking the question here, though.
Yeah.
So I admit, you don't want to come back with, well, because I'm not a heathen like you. That's not a good response. That's going to push the play. But if they ask you the question...
If someone will ask you, you have to answer it.
Why do you do that? Well, because I'm better than you. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's pushing the play. But if they ask why you do that, and especially if they have a bit of church background, there's lots of people who've been to church in their life. A lot of people have fallen out of church. There's lots of ways to respond. And I think the best way, because a lot of people have at least a little bit of church background in this country, is come up with a scripture. Even if you can't quote it verbatim, you can at least come up with something good. I mean, you can do something as simple as, why do you go to church on Saturday?
Because Bible says.
You don't have to come up with an exact verse in scripture, but you can say, well, in Genesis, God created the seventh day as a day of rest. He rested on it and set it as an example for us and set aside as a holy day. And he says, the fourth commandment says to honor that day. That if you're supposed to make it holy, we're not supposed to work on it. We're supposed to meet before our God and meet with him. And nowhere does that ever change. And it's something I choose to do because I want to honor him. I want to be with him. And it's something, even paraphrasing it like that, which is something I've said lots of times, that you can really help explain it to them. And when somebody sees that you care and you actually know what you're talking about, they're much more interested in your religion than when you just say, well, it's because we believe in Saturday things, kind of like Seventh-day Adventists or something like that.
Yeah, that's what I meant to.
But that's not really going to help them, because they're just going to think that, oh, you're just kind of trying to give an excuse for why you do it, because we don't have an excuse. We have a valid reason. We have a one desire to be here. So, did anybody come up with any good ideas maybe while you were sitting here? You didn't have one before? The responses to questions, or maybe a better way you could respond it? I know I'm famous for that. I talk to somebody, and as soon as they walk away, I go, I should have said this. Is there anything like that where you can think of something where you could have said something better, or what you might have said that would have been a better response?
Well,
how about the ones that were late today? You guys got a good response?
That's a good response.
It's not just wrong because it's wrong. They ask why, you say look it up in the Bible.
Yeah.
That's good. That's a lot of times what I've said is that. Now, it's always good to give a more specific example if you can, I would suggest. But as a general response to anyone, that's a good one. But like I said, if you can kind of quote a scripture or paraphrase a scripture or something like that, that's always good. Now, I assume you're giving a general example of what you do in general. Have you ever run into a specific situation where that's come up? Or? Man, it seems like
I think you're the only one.
Well, then you guys can get out there and start annoying people.
Because I have
questions.
A social life.
Well, okay.
Okay.
I try to, like, not, like, cram it down all the throat at once. Because I know a lot of people who do that, they usually, if I give a whole big pile of answers right then, like, too much, they tend to back away. Because, you know, either they get annoyed with it, and it might kind of be a little bit intimidating, but I'm trying to find the right word here, but... Usually because they tend to find it, like, annoying, because a lot of kids at their school, they're these super Christians, so they say, and so they're always preaching about what's right and what's wrong, and, you know, they don't really know what they're talking about, and so they get annoyed with Christianity, or the whole, you know, Bible thing. So I try to get to a
question, though.
Well,
so I try to get into them, like, a little bit at a time, so it's not just a whole, like, you know, if I were to give you just a big pile of homework, would you even want to do it?
Yes.
For you, a little bit, like a paper at a time.
I mean, it's math, but I think it's off topic.
You know, it's what I'm trying to say. A little bit at a time, you would feel
comfortable.
Yeah,
and that's how God teaches us as well, is that he gives us a little at a time.
I don't try to give him a whole big.
And I think there's something important there. As you mentioned, there's the super Christians who act like they know what they're talking about and are trying to force everybody else to believe stuff. And you mentioned something key there. They don't really know what they're talking about. Should that be the position you're in, or should you actually know what you're talking about?
Yeah, I agree with that.
And that's the good thing, and that's why you've got to always be spending that time reading the Bible, and I think it's really important was Matt's study earlier. took me a long time to start getting into, and sometimes even I fall out of habit from time to time and don't get into it, but that is, you've got to pray. It's the big thing. That's how he teaches you. That's how you figure out what he wants you to do, because I'm trying to think of a way to explain it, but God answers the prayers. And you'll be amazed once you start praying and asking him for stuff and asking him to teach you and guide you and show you stuff. You'd be amazed how well he answers those. And if you're just, if you're waiting for the response and not trying to get something specific, if you're not asking for a new car or trying to get something, or you only want this exact thing, if you're actually honestly asking God for help, it will come and it will be amazing. You will never see it coming, and then all of a sudden it will be there, the answer to your prayer. And there's only one way to really experience that, and that's to start asking God and talking to him. And of course, you can always go through the Bible. There's good examples of prayers. There's the example Christ gave. I usually kind of work that into the beginning of each prayer because it's a good default to kind of get you into it. And it's a brief overview. You don't have to pray that exact one every time, you know. But I always try and work it in because it's a good one. It's a good way to start. And so you read the Bible, see what other people have prayed. I mean, Job talked to God, and he wasn't even praying. And that's a good example, is that I think sometimes we worry so much about praying as something where you have to get down on your knees and pray, but when you talk to your parents, as Matt mentioned, you're not coming to them and saying, well, Mom and Dad, I need this, 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 and this, and thank you for this, this, and this. And you talk about everyday stuff. When something nice happens, when you see something beautiful in nature, you know, I think a lot of you went up on that Hanging Lake hike the other day. It was an incredible view. Do you go up there and maybe just in your head or say out loud, like, wow, this is amazing what you made. I'm glad I'm here to experience that. It's simple stuff like that that grows your relationship. That's the same stuff in the way that you grow a relationship with a friend, maybe eventually with a boyfriend, girlfriend, fiance, husband, wife at some point. That's how you grow a relationship. It's not just coming up to them with a list of wants and needs and thanks yous. It's actually just talking about everyday things. Drive by and you see a car accident on the side of the road. You know, either you stop and try to help them, or you just say, oh God, be with them and make sure that they're okay. Because you need to always be in that relationship with your Father. And so I think Matt's thing, if you can really take that away, of actually realizing that you can come to the throne room of God anytime you want and boldly come there and talk to him. It doesn't just have to be for requests and questions and thank yous. It can just be to boldly come up there and say, hey, I wanted to talk to you today. Nobody else is willing to talk to me, so I'll come to you. Probably not the best default. You should come to him first, even if other people want to. But you always have somebody there to talk to, and that's how you develop and answer these questions. That's how you make your faith your own. I'll get into an example that I have here, which is kind of the example that inspired the topic. Is I heard some guy give a sermon. It was a Baptist guy, and he was explaining to kind of teens as well, and he was talking about how parents are supposed to raise their kids. And he explained as your parents are the hedges on the side of the road. And if you guys want to get up and do a physical example, we can do that. Might eat up some more time.
How long do you wait?
Okay, you can be the little kid. Ah. Taller, older people who can act like a husband and wife. You don't have to like each other. You just have to pretend.
Those two
over there.
They're already dating.
Jason and Danny.
Yeah, come on. Acting. Come
on. You don't have to act.
What do?
You just have to walk next to me, to be honest. One on each side.
How about, Colton and
Ooh, that could work, too.
Or Christina and Isaac.
Just no way. Can't be taller than my mom. That's what
I don't know, most of us are.
Why don't you pick your mom and your dad, Blake?
How about, this is Blake's
imagination.
No,
you
got your mom.
That's your mom.
Do we not have any volunteers? Maybe we are really chatty here. Our volunteer.
Yeah. A volunteer's okay. Tribute.
Okay, so Isaac.
Isaac.
Okay, so what do I do?
Well, first of all, you go it's great. That's why I like to pick
Prim
my pocket. It's okay.
Just got elected. Volunteers as tribute.
What?
$5.
Huh?
No. Hunger Games reference. Come on.
No. No. Go on.
No. I think Erica should go.
Oh, God. Oh, my God. Erica.
Yeah.
Oh, no. No. No.
Anna gets to go because she volunteered Erica.
You guys said you wanted a physical example, but nobody since volunteers.
Good luck, Anna.
Yeah, hey, I volunteered right away. Are you proud?
You did. Yes, I'm very proud.
Good luck, Anna.
I was going to
now, I'm not much of an actor. So.
You don't have to be. If you can walk a straight line, you're doing better than most. So, stand at this. I'm going to make that the line, and then one of you get on each side of him. So the idea is, okay, you go that way too. That works just fine.
Which way are we supposed to be going?
You go this way. Two of you are facing that way. We'll go that.
Wait, so the idea,
no. You can turn them around if you're supposed to be like your parents. That's what you do. But the idea is that start walking forward, all three of you together. The idea is that your parents. He gave this example. If your parents are a hedge to keep you on that straight and narrow path, as you're going up.
Oh, okay, that makes sense.
And they stand on each side, and that's, you know, sometimes
that's
some people aren't lucky enough to have both parents, but there's always an elder or somebody who you can go to be that hedge. But an example I'm trying to make here is that it's not just, if you guys line up here and actually come this way since I'm over here, the idea is that you're not just trying to lead them on the path and get them all the way to, you're not just trying to get them all the way to God, because no matter how good your parents are, and you can have straight parents, and they will always be a guide, and you can always use them as a guide. But your parents usually are actually trying to get you into walk here. And
come
this
on,
might be a good example. But they're trying to get you to the Savior who's actually going to help and lead you the rest of the way.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not the best example of that, but you get the point here. Is that the goal of this is not just to follow your parents and listen as the guide the whole way. Their goal is to actually get you to Christ who will take you the whole way.
Yeah, see, I'm a good parent,
but
you
should
be grateful.
Probably be easier with the whiteboard.
Try
to
erase.
Yeah.
You don't have like a road coach,
two
arms, and then you go...
It also works better with volunteers, where they were at, they didn't get a volunteer, they just got ordered and had to do it.
Yeah, I volunteered.
All that was about that. Wow.
See, like a piece of paper and a pen.
Wow, that was only 4 minutes. We should have made it longer.
How could you make that longer?
I guess we could have gone in circles.
Yeah, different people this time.
You get the point there of your parents are always that guide, and you're always going to use them that. But the goal is to find the goal that your parents are finding for you. Is sometimes people get in the default, and I know I've gotten to this in the past, of, well, I just do what my parents do. And that's a good example to follow, but you end up spending your whole life following the example instead of finding the example what they're being an example of. And I thought that was a really good example there, and that's what kind of started to inspire the topic, was that sermon that I heard. And I tried to carry it on to the idea of they're not just leading you to your destination, because as great as your parents are, they're not the ones who died for your sins. They're not the one who knows the right path and walked it perfectly. They're trying to show you who that is. And if you ever feel lost, even as an adult, you can still always go to them, because if your parents are walking hand in hand with God, and you need to find God, and you're lost, guess who you can go to find that hand? If they're walking hand in hand with God, if you go and find your parents and ask them for help, if they're walking hand in hand with God, you're right there, and they can just hand you over or show you on that. So your parents are, even as adults, always a good guide stone.
So they're like the straight lines on the road or the car. Good example.
Yes, that's a great example.
Like that.
On the highway, so it goes straight. either way, no matter where it turns, we're still following the guidelines.
If you that thing, so.
That's a good example. There's some people in here that might not drive like that, but that's what you have a driving instructor sitting there in the passenger seat screaming with you for.
So don't get a female driving instructor unless you're a girl. Because I failed twice having a female driver instructor. I get a male instructor and I pass.
I don't know. I got a girl instructor the first time. I just talked to her and I passed.
I just talked to her.
So
what did you say? That's the question.
Yeah, and she crashed his car. Someone crashed his car. Anyway, it doesn't matter. As you were saying.
Well, crash the car would be an example of not what not to do.
No, Sergey Shulgin.
But even then, Christ is always there to help you get back on the path. That would be an example of Christ is your tow truck in that example.
For all the car people, not skip.
All good,
I never said that.
Got it.
So, like, just use, like, highway. Just use, like, car-related instead of...
Well,
that's actually
now that you bring it up, the highway is a good example, because there's a lot of paths on a highway. If your goal is that mansion that Christ has built for you in heaven, there's only really one driveway that leads to that in the end.
You're welcome.
Thank you. You want to switch places? I'm kidding.
Then I will leave.
Based on your answers earlier. We could have been out of here in 15 minutes and gotten them right to start with. I'm just saying, I have no problem cutting short. But, anyhow, there's highways and paths going everywhere. I mean, you can either take the path to that mansion at the end of the road and take that one driveway, or you can go off and go to anywhere else. You can go to a party with a bunch of kids enjoying the streets of Colorado, or you can go and find your correct path. Where, I mean, there's so many things that you can go to that are wrong, but... The question is, where are you headed on that path, and who's your guide? Who's your passenger, or, as my brother always likes to talk about, the rally races in Europe, who's your person with the map in the passenger seat directing you, telling you what to do? So, now, I should have mentioned the scripture earlier, but there's a really good one, which I'm pretty sure you all already know, but we're going to read it anyways, and that's Acts 17:10 through 12. And this is an example of using the Bible as your guide and why you read it and check it, and the people who were committed for doing this.
Acts 17:12.
10 through 12.
10 through 12.
What?
17, 12. I'm
just focusing on finding
the text. Anyone volunteer for this one? You need Bible, I got an extra one. Okay.
Wait, 10 through 12?
Yeah, lift your fingers up here.
And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming there went into the synagogue of Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica.
Thessalonica.
Okay.
Say that to me fast.
In that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched all scriptures daily whenever those things were so. Therefore many of them believed also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men, not a few.
So, this is an example of how you use the Bible, and these people were commended for using it. They searched the scriptures daily, and when they were brought the new doctrine of Christ and who died for them, they checked the scriptures and found it to be true. And so, the same thing is with you. When people aren't just going to be asking you questions, they're going to be coming up to you and saying, well, why don't you do this? You want to come do them? It's fun. And you can check and see whether what they say is good or not. And sometimes it is. I mean, that's how we grow in our walk, is we find new things which are good and true. And we check and see if this checks out with the Bible and with God. And then if it is true, we start to follow it. And, sorry, that scripture was a bit out of place there. And then, do you have any ideas for attitude when answering questions, especially when somebody criticizes you? I'm not sure if you get this playing sports, but do you ever get criticized for missing a game or something like that? I'm assuming you guys are the star players and that they lose whenever you're not there.
Mm-hmm. I'm the bench. I'm the starting quarterback. Not really, but...
You wish just...
I could be.
But do you ever get criticized for your faith?
No.
No?
My God is a sister, she's awesome.
Do you have any examples of that, maybe?
My God, she's a sister, she's awesome. No, like, little kids just, like, pick on her, like, your faith doesn't let you do anything because she misses half the games because half the games are on Saturday. They just, and, like, the coach will play her, like, she doesn't get to play till, like, the last half of the second game. And that kind of thing, so she gets picked on a lot about missing so much. And when it gets back, it'll probably be a lot worse because it's been a week without practice.
And that can be hard. I mean, you're going to get it throughout your life. I mean, Christ says, they persecuted me, they will persecute you. I mean, he did everything perfectly and got persecuted horribly. How much more do you think us infallible humans will do if you're persecuted for it? And so it's something you need to be prepared for. And something, I'm assuming that even if you can't think of a specific example, it's happened in the past for you. You've had somebody say, well, you're lame, you won't go out and drink with us, or you're lame, you won't go in to this party or whatever kind of thing.
Never happened to me.
What?
Never happened to me because I don't have a social life. Not until recently.
Okay, now teach me how to have one. No.
Well, first, but, so, you get a job.
Have a joke.
That was a punchline of the joke.
Wait, but, so, do you think of any good ways you can respond to that? Are there any way, or any attitudes you can respond with? Because this is kind of, maybe not an example of responding, but if your faith is deep-seated, when somebody criticizes you, first of all, don't take it to heart, forgive them, but how, what's a good way to respond to that, so that you're not either antagonizing them back, nor are you trying to just kind of hide in a corner, kind of, you know, make up an excuse and kind of get away with it. Because you don't want to get away with believing in God. You want to have a good answer. You want to have something that you can come back with that will show that you truly believe in what you're doing. Does anybody have any good ideas for this?
It's kind of like...
Not you.
Yeah.
Christina volunteers to give a good answer?
No.
Okay, then.
If you spend as much time volunteering yourself as you volunteer each other...
No, I was going to give an answer, and she said no. Well, like, of, like, the sports, just be like, no, I don't really care if I miss sports. I like going to church, you know, say it's something you like to do. Something you have just as much fun doing.
That's a really good response. That's what I've told people.
So, like, I have just as much fun playing, you know, going to church as I do playing sports. So I don't really care if I miss one game. Or, you know, a couple of games.
I miss, like,
I've said stuff like, we're going to go there, we're going to have fun, we're going to go to church, but hey, what's the difference? Going to church is fun, and it should be that way.
And you can't lose that way.
Yeah.
That is true. Hey, I had a good idea.
That was not something I was expecting, to be honest, but that is a really good example. If you don't want to lose, quit sports and believe in God. Then you'll always be a winner. Does he may have any other good? That's a good one. Say, go to church. It's fun. I want to do this.
I think like this side of the table's been really quiet. I think they should say something.
You really don't want to answer. You don't have to, but I'd love to hear a response if you can think of one. From anybody on that end? Or that end. It's also okay. Just a silent
Have I talked enough?
Yeah, Blake.
Okay, so what's your response?
Bane.
I'm sure you can come up with something. Anything other than I don't know.
Jesus, I can't.
Well, that is a good response. I'm going to hope that you're not just copying him, but that you've actually...
No, I don't want to copy him.
You guys have one? Trying to get everybody involved here.
George. Okay, I'll volunteer.
Is that a lot? Is it true?
You could just show them why you believe that.
That's a good example. Show them why you believe.
Well, you have to take easy on that too.
And that follows that similar example of, well, why do you keep on Sabbath? Having an actual answer where you can quote scripture is good. And when somebody criticizes you, to go off of what you said, show them what you believe. Somebody says, well, why aren't you out there drinking and partying and getting wasted and going off and all those simple facts and stuff?
I'm not
you can respond
kid,
with...
Because I'm allergic to alcohol.
Hangovers suck, I'm fine.
Well,
I think you're missing the point here. Although that is very true, and you can maybe hopefully use that to explain to them as well. You shouldn't do this. Do you see how messed up you are every morning when you come into work? That's a good excuse to use, but that's a very tailored and specific thing. But when you can come up with an answer, they ask, well, why don't you do that? Instead of just saying, well, I don't think drinking is right, or it's against my religion, you'd say, the Bible says not to be a drunkard. I want to be coherent, and I want to be this way because God said to be this way, and it's the best way to be. I feel good in the morning when I wake up. I'm happy, and I don't have to be wasted to have fun. I have a mind that's capable of enjoying stuff without being completely wasted and seeing it in funny colors. I don't know what drugs look like to make you look like, and I assume the goggles they give you in health class are not a good example. And so, are there any other things? Maybe attitudes that you guys can come up with? I'm trying to prompt you here. I'll give you a hint. It's the way you approach the
just
throne of God.
Just violence and it's not
like
your business.
Like when you're explaining to other people, like if they ask you what's your religion, like be excited about it.
Yeah, that's really excited. When somebody says, why are you going to the feast? Because it's the
don't
funnest
like,
thing we do every year.
God,
I used to explain
to
the kids this way. I said, I don't do Christmas because that's... And I explained to them, and they're like, well, why don't you miss all the fun? I was like, you do Christmas and you have one day of sort of fun where you just get to go and get
handful
gifts.
Of presents.
I get a whole week where I get to go have fun. I get to be with God. And it's fun on just the most basic level of just adrenaline pumping, running around, falling down mountains. Whatever you can do.
And then they're looking at you like, whoa,
there's
who
a story
are you?
Behind that one.
We have snakes.
Actually, I didn't even fall that bad, but I'm making it worse.
You looked pretty funny, though.
You weren't even there! It looked really bad.
No, I can see it falling down.
Bad, not as in, like, I got hurt bad, but bad as in, look, it's an exercise. But anyhow, the point is, you're good, right about, you need to be excited. I mean, obviously, we're here having fun, because
yeah,
it's just fun. We're out there, we're hiking, we're swimming, we're doing all this stuff. But also, we're having fun on another level of spiritually.
Yeah.
We're getting to know God. And I don't know about you guys, but that's fun when you can learn something new about God, when you can grow closer in that relationship with Him. And if you haven't experienced that yet, then, well, try and get closer. God will make that, because it's always fun when you can get close to Him. When you learn that new thing, or He answers a prayer, that excitement, that fun that you have when you realize... That was God, because I could have never seen that coming.
Talk to your friends.
Stick your nose in the book. Jerry Watts used to say, is, stick your nose in the book, get to know the Son of God. He was famous for saying that one.
That's a great one. And that's a good example. When people ask you, well, what church do you go to? Or, so I've heard people say, well, I'm looking for a church. Now, of course, this is a good example where you can say, well, I go to Discipleship Church of God. We meet in Henderson every week if you ever want to come. That's a good example where you can just throw out the physical church. That's a great example of time. But you can also, at that point, say, well, if you want to go to church, here's the even more important thing. Here's a church you can go to, but here's the most important thing. And that's what Jerry Laws used to say, because he was a great example of that. Go get a Bible and read it. Go get a Bible and read it and pray to Him and ask Him to reveal Himself to you. Get to know the Savior. And if you want help in doing that, or you want to meet like-minded people doing that, here's a great church to go to do that.
Yeah, and people ask me, you know, what church I go to. We don't even really have a church, per se. We just kind of have a big Bible study every week.
Yeah.
Because we don't even have a name at all. It's just kind of on the side of...
Yeah, and that's what and I used to explain to people, because for a long time, we meet people's houses. We don't worry about going to a building. It's about meeting with each other and meeting with our God. And so... being excited, and then just having that answer ready there where you can say, go to the Bible. That would have been a great one to bring up earlier when I asked the question that was posted. But no, I'm glad you brought that up, because that's a really good example, and that's a great example from a great guy who was a great leader to us all. And still is, to be honest. I mean, the fact that you're still quoting him now shows how great of a leader you can be. And then another thing, and as I mentioned, I'm going to give you guys one more chance. It's how Matt said to enter the throne room of God. Anybody got an idea of what that attitude is?
Confidence.
Okay, he used a specific word that is a synonym though. That's boldly.
Boldly
confidence.
Boldly confidence.
They're both good.
Pretty similar.
Yep. And when somebody asks you what you believe or why don't you do this, if you just say, well, I don't think it's right, they're going to keep pestering you. They're going to keep thinking, well, you don't really believe that. They're going to keep saying, well, come on, come drink with me. Well, you don't really think it's right, but it's fun. And they're going to keep trying to give you excuses. But if you say, that is wrong, and I have more fun doing something else, or I enjoy doing something else. So they ask, why do you meet on the Sabbath? Say, because I want to. The fourth commandment says to me on the Sabbath, and I choose to honor that. If you answer boldly, they're going to know what you believe. And how you get that bold faith is you get closer to God, you read the Bible, and you have it in here so that when somebody asks you, you want to say, because the fourth commandment says so, and I want to follow my Father's commandments. You have to have that boldness that you can't be shy or bashful about answering for God. Because, I mean, that's one thing God said, fearful not enter the kingdom of God. And that's one of the things. And boldness helps win people over, too. When they see you're bold and passionate about something, they want to know what you have. And then they can see that hope you have, and then you can answer that hope and point them to the Savior. And that was about all I have. There's one more verse which goes with this boldness, and that's Ephesians 4:14. Yeah. If anybody was left in the couple verses ago, it would be the one right before the one you previously read. Maybe I should make you memorize it like somebody made me when I was young. That's a good one. You guys want to read? I can give you the Bible here somewhere. Volunteers, you want me to read it?
Yes.
Yeah, me too.
You want to?
4:14.
Ephesians 4:14.
As a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, but by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming.
And that's, I think, the big thing to see here is that you guys are teenagers, which means you're no longer children, and you're growing out of that, and you're trying to become adults. And that means you have to be bold about your faith. You have to truly believe it. It has to be in your heart. And, like it says here, no more children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine. You have to be bold. You have to know what you believe. And how you do that is you can develop that personal relationship. And you have to make God... I like the quote from the song at Calvary. It says, now I own him as my king. You have to own God, and that doesn't mean he's something that you put in a safe and that's mine. It means I own him. I want him. I don't want anything else. I'm not going to take your counterfeit. You can't trade me for something else. You can't switch it while I'm gone. I know what it is. It's mine, and I want it. I own it. He's my savior. And you've got to internalize that, and he's got to take it from your parents and put it into your own heart.